All right, turn in your Bibles to John chapter 4, and we're going to go on to the tail end of it. Okay, so last time we talked about the harvest. We talked about the harvest the last time, and that the Lord was showing the disciples in the woman's response to salvation that this harvest is plentiful. The harvest is white. We need laborers. The harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. Meaning there are souls that need to be saved, and we talked about the model, Jesus Christ being the model for an excellent witness for Jesus, or for Jesus Christ. He modeled how to do that. And today we're just going to wrap up some things. And it's interesting because God uses miracles in such a way in this Bible, especially in the book of John, he uses it in such a way to show us. We got to look very closely at what's actually happening. I want to start back in John 4, verse 39. And we're going to recap here. So here's what happens. So he says, the harvest is truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. In Matthew 9:38, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. So there's a need for the gospel to get out. There's no doubt about that. And in verse 39 of John chapter 4, it says, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman. So the woman, she goes in, she tells everybody of her encounter with Christ. And it says, believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all that I ever did. It was that encounter she had with Jesus. So Jesus Christ led her to salvation, and then she led others to salvation. But Christ is always the one that does the saving. But this is how witnessing works, right? It's that profession of faith. Christ gives her the gospel. Essentially, he's saying, I am the Christ. I'm the Messiah. He rebuked her in her sin because she was living in sin. She was living with men that she wasn't married to. And Christ knew that. And although he was compassionate with his engagement with her, he's also holy and just and says, you're still in sin. You got to get rid of that thing, right? But how do you do that? She first has to believe on him for the saving of her soul. And then afterwards, when you get saved, what's the fruit of it? She starts telling others. There's this heart change so that what? Now, God, you're a new creature in Christ. There's these fruits that start to change on that tree. So now you start getting rid of those bad things in your life, but it's not the other way around. You don't do good works to get saved. It's getting saved, and then the result of getting saved is wanting to change for the Lord because you love him and what he did for them. And here's the important part. In verse 40, so when the Samaritans were come unto him, the people in the town, they besought him that he would tarry with them, stay with them, and he abode there 2 days. They were thankful for hearing the truth, and they said, stay with us for a couple days. And Jesus did. And it's one of those very few times where Jesus actually kind of listens to the people in the sense of, so he stayed there because he could have just went on his journey. But it's amazing. In verse 41, it says, and Jesus stayed in the city. Now think about this, ready? In verse 40, they said, he abode there 2 days. I always wondered these things. In those 2 days, what happened? Jesus is staying in a city. What is he doing? And then verse 41, and many more believed because of his own word. Isn't it interesting? Many more. So we have the woman and some of the people that she told, they both listened to the account of Jesus Christ. And it says, and many more believed because of not of what he did, but of his own word, the words of Jesus Christ. Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And then verse 10, it says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. What is she doing? Jesus Christ told her the truth. You're in sin, but you need a Savior. I'm the Christ. I'm the Messiah. when he told her her sin, she didn't say, no, I'm not, that's not me. What do you know? She knew he was a prophet. She knew something was different. And he said, she goes to tell the town, here's this guy that told me all I ever did. She didn't deny it. She acknowledged her sin and then believed and told others. And guess what she did? With her mouth, confession was made unto salvation. So when we get saved, the whole idea of evangelism, think about it. Think about it. When you're saved, and I'm not saying that if you don't evangelize, you're not saved. That's not what I'm saying. There's this heart. That's why being saved and being a disciple of Christ are very different things, is because God is faithful to save your soul from eternal damnation. But being a disciple of the Christ is to emulate and walk to be a Christian, to be a Christ one. Do the example of what Christ set forth for us. And that was telling others about the good news. So, and she's doing that, and it's a great testimony. So, Romans 10:11, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed, right? I shouldn't be ashamed of the gospel. I should be telling people about it. Verse 12, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. I don't care if she's a Samaritan. I don't care if she's a Jew. He said, I'm going to preach the gospel to them, right? For the same Lord over all is rich unto them that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him who have they not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Jesus Christ is that preacher, right? He's going to Galilee, right? He's going to Galilee, but in his pit stop, there's a preacher, and that's Jesus Christ, and he's preaching the gospel. How are they going to hear that truth without that preacher? You understand? You have that seed in the storehouse, and you got to go spread it. And this is what Jesus is telling his disciples. You have the truth. Look at the harvest. It's white. It's the harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. We need more laborers. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. And then Romans 10:17 is perfect. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. What did we read in verse 41 of John 4? And many more believed because of his own word. You have his own word in the lap, in your lap. Verse 42, and said unto the woman, now we believe, ready? Not because of thy saying. She said, go, you guys got to find this guy. He's telling me all the things that I ever did, right? Not because of thy saying. We believe not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. It is a personal acceptance and receiving of Jesus Christ. It wasn't her acceptance that got them saved. They needed to hear it for themselves. They sought that truth out and they got saved. Salvation is to whosoever. Christ led her to salvation. She led others to salvation. It's the flow of how witnessing is. You can't be saved by someone else's confession. You can't be saved by praying a prayer with somebody if it's coming out of your lips. You can help guide them, but they have to acknowledge that. That's got to come from their heart. And that's the problem with religion, is it's coming from someone else's heart on something they do not believe. And everybody's going to hell. Verse 43. Now after 2 days he departed thence and went into Galilee. So 2 days he abode there, many more got saved, because that's what Jesus does, right? When wherever he goes, the things he encounters, he changes people's lives, and many more believed. Now after 2 days he departed thence and went into Galilee. By the way, Samaritan, the woman at the well, was a pit stop. Remember that. See, it's this idea here, remember this, the idea of taking advantage of what you have at that situation. What does that look like today? You know what? You pray before you encounter somebody. Sometimes it may not be the right time to witness. You got to have that discernment. But sometimes the Lord just leads it on to you, and all of a sudden you're just overwhelmed and you say, no, this is the time. This person's hurting. I can clearly tell. They're dying in a hospital bed. They need to hear the gospel. They need to hear the gospel. Verse 44, for Jesus himself testified that a prophet hath no honor in his own country. So here's the idea here. Jesus was from Nazareth, right? So the Nazarene. Jesus goes beyond Jerusalem now, and he's starting to reach the world. The good cross-reference for here about a prophet hath no honor in his own country, we don't have time for it, but it's in Luke chapter 4, the second half of it, from verse 18 to the end. Luke chapter 4, verse 18, talking about a prophet hath no honor in his own country. What is he talking about? Good question you ask. In John 1, 45, Jesus is gathering his disciples, and it says this, Philip findeth Nathanael, remember Nathanael, and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law, not just the law, in the prophets, did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. In verse 46, and Nathanael said unto him, he asked this question, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, come and see. See, Jesus was rejected in the town that he was in. And think about that question. When Jesus encounters Nathanael, he says to Nathanael, I found someone out of Israel that has no guile, that's not deceitful. So when Nathanael says this and asks that question, he's asking it earnestly, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Nazareth has got this reputation. It's not a good reputation, right? Because otherwise, think about it, why is he asking that question? But Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, the Redeemer, comes out of Nazareth. Why? It's because he's going to preach the gospel to people that want to listen to it. And those people rejected him. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear it. Jesus had told the Jews first, and most didn't receive him. But God is loving, he's gracious and merciful, and he extends salvation outward to all of mankind. Not just to the Jew, but it's to the Gentile, right? Okay, I want you to take a pit stop, put a bookmark in there, and I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. I'm going to make a point here. In John 4:45, while you're turning there, in John 4:45, it says this, then when he was coming to Galilee, so Jesus reaches Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things that he did at Jerusalem at the feast, for they also went unto the feast. There's one word in there that is the most important of this verse, and that is received him. See, here's the idea here, and I'm underlining that. Well, you know what? Let's read Matthew chapter 8, and you'll see why. Matthew chapter 8. This is the demoniac at Gadara. Jesus performs miracles throughout his earthly ministry, many that are probably not even recorded in his word. But the ones that are recorded in his word, God knew that these were important, and why? Because that's the way the Lord works in his word. They're in here for a reason. He's trying to show us stuff. We just have to mind that truth. Starting in verse 25. So verse 25 is finishing up, the Lord calms the storm, right? Peter and all that stuff, he calms the storm. And his disciples came unto him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. Right? They're in fear. And he saith unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Verse 27 of Matthew chapter 8. But the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him? And when he was come to the other side into the... So see, we're leaving one miracle, and now he's about to do something else. And they say, what manner of man is this? Even the winds and sea obey him, right? So imagine their heart, they're saying, wow, what kind of man is this, right? But now watch, in verse 28, and when he was come to the other side into the country of the Gergesenes, there met he two possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. They're possessed. And behold, they cried out, saying, now here's important here. What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? And there was a good way off from them and heard many of swine feeding. So the devils besought him, saying, if thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine. If you're going to cast us out, just make us go into these dirty pigs. And he said unto them, go. Right? I love that. Just one word from the Lord, go. And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine, and behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently a steep place into the sea and perished in the waters. And they that kept them, fled and went their ways into the city and told everything and what was befalling to the possessor of the devil. So now here's the other engagement. Now watch this. Jesus has an engagement with somebody that's possessed with the devil. John chapter 4, Jesus has an engagement with a woman that's living in sin. Now watch what happens. He casts the devils out of the man in Matthew chapter 8. He gives the gospel to, he professes that he's the Christ, the Messiah to the woman in John chapter 4. People are witnesses to this. They go to the town and report on it. She goes to the town and reports on her engagement. Now watch what happens. And they that kept him fled and went their ways into the city and told everything and what was befallen to the possessed of the devils. Verse 34. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. The whole city. And when they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coasts. It's rejecting the light. It's rejecting. He just cast a devil out of this man. And they reject him. We don't want him here. Now watch. This man is possessed and he's causing all this havoc in the town. You would think, oh, he healed the man. Now things are back in order. Men love darkness rather than light. What did the woman do when she reported? She's reporting, Jesus saved me. I believe on him. Praise the Lord. You guys got to hear this guy. He's telling me all my sin. I mean, I'm a mess. But you know what? This guy, I don't know what it is. He's definitely the Christ and the Messiah. Go listen to him. See the two. And then what happens at the end of John chapter 4? And they received him and he abode there 2 days. Same thing with the Galileans now. We're seeing this idea here. It's a choice in the matter of rejecting the gospel or accepting and receiving the gospel. Why is that? It's because these devils knew. What did they call him? Jesus. The devils called him Jesus, thou Son of God. They believe they know Jesus. They believe Jesus is the Son of God. Satan believes the scriptures. He knows the scriptures. He knows Christ is the Redeemer. What's the difference? He wanted power. He wanted to be like I will ascend like the Most High. He wanted that. It's receiving Christ as your Savior in your heart. You can believe those facts all you want, folks, but you need to accept and you need to receive that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You need to believe and then you need to receive. Otherwise, how do you get what happens with a harvest, right? That seed in the stony ground, it needs to be received within the ground for it to become fertile. But it's never received if it gets cast away by a bird or it's on stony ground. It's never received. It needs to take root. And in the Bible, we always talk about taking root. It needs to nurture, take root and nurture out into that fruit is glorious. But this is the two differences. It's lost opportunity in Matthew chapter 8. Christ was there. The light was there and the light was rejected. It's spiritual blindness as opposed to spiritual vision, awakening, right? There's this contrast. We need to contrast this because Christ is using this for an example. Don't reject Christ. When we talk to people and you give them the gospel and they reject it, it's on them. It's on them. Christ is rejected or Christ is received. And basically, it's like a presidential campaign, right? The choice is yours. The choice is yours, but it really is like that. Verse 47, when he heard that Jesus, John chapter 4, verse 47, when he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him. Now, we're switching gears here to the nobleman's son. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee. Pop quiz, what happened in Cana of Galilee in John chapter 2? What was the wedding. That's right, okay. Where he made the water wine, and there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Verse 48. Then said Jesus unto him, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. Jesus is not being harsh here, okay? He's not being harsh here. He's challenging the man, okay? Because the Jews require what? Right. But here's the important thing here. It's a personal engagement with this man. He says, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. But watch the response here. It's always Christ and then the person's response. The book of John is full of this. Personal encounters, showing the Christian, showing the lost, what it is to receive Jesus Christ. The nobleman saith unto him, sir, come down ere my child die. You need to come down here or my child's going to die. Already you're starting to see he is completely surrendered to Jesus. He has no other choice. He's placing everything in him. See how he gives himself an ultimatum? Sir, come down ere my child die. Jesus saith unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. Wait a minute. So wait, all he said was, sir, come down ere my child die. He's not by his son. He is far from his son, what we're going to find out. And the man, here it is again, the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And the man believed the word Jesus spoken to him and went his way. The man didn't need to see the miracle. The man didn't need to be physically witnessing Jesus raise somebody from the dead. He didn't need to see put his hand on his child. He said, I've heard about you. I know things about you. I just believe your word. And he said, go thy way. Thy son liveth. The man is exercising faith at a distance. What are we doing today? Exercising faith. Jesus physically is not here with us. We know that because I believe the Bible says when he's sitting at the right hand of God, he's sitting at the right hand of God. We have the Holy Spirit to guide us, to comfort us, right? But here's the idea here. This idea that if Jesus was here, my life would be so much better? No. The life got better after Jesus ascended into heaven because the Holy Spirit came and guided Christians. Peter became bold. They were being martyred for Christ. Something changed in them. That's what salvation is. It's by faith, by grace, through faith and nothing else. It's Jesus and Jesus alone. You're testifying that Jesus Christ, here it is, here's an important point. Jesus Christ is more than a miracle-working prophet. Jesus Christ's power reaches beyond his physical presence. And that's such an important point. Think of all the times our prayers have been answered, right? Amen. I'm just thinking of brother over here, right? I'm not going to say it online because it's personal, but just think of all the prayers that have been answered of people being sick, losing a loved one, all this, going through tough times, personal experiences with family. We all have them. How many times has he answered those, right? We pray constantly of other things in our life. We're always going to, by the way, this prayer request sheet's always going to be there. It's always going to be there on this side of heaven. Why? Because we depend on him. We need him. We have concerns. This is life. Life is hard. We know that. But at the same time, it's glorious because we have Jesus Christ and he doesn't even need to be by our side because he's a friend. He sticks closer than a brother. Verse 51 of John chapter 4. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, guess what they said? Thy son liveth. Amen. Amen. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend, and they said unto him, yesterday, right? Yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. Sends it goosebumps. Yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. That's a lot of time to lose faith and confidence when he talked to Jesus, right? What happened? What happened? Are we waiting on the Lord? Are we trying to be patient on the Lord? What are we doing today? I know things we've prayed to the Lord countlessly. Maybe that prayer has been going on for 50 years. Maybe it's been for a loved one who's not saved yet, a spouse who's not saved yet, and you pray and you pray and you're waiting on the Lord and waiting on the Lord, and you have faith and you know, you just believe the Lord, and maybe it hasn't been answered yet. But that's a lot of time to lose your faith and confidence. But you know what? This man didn't. He's about to lose his son, and he's just, Lord, I'm giving it all to you. Whatever happens, I'm giving it all to you. In verse 53, so the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house. Hold there. You don't have to turn here. But the Bible is a cool book, because I'm going to tell you something. In Acts chapter 16, Paul's in prison. Paul's in prison, and it says this. It says, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. It was a crime for a security person, a guard, if he lost all his prisons, he would have been put to death. He would have, because that was his job, and he would have been punished for that. He was scared. But here's what Paul did, a prisoner in there, shackled up. He says this, but Paul cried, he's not shackled up, but Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Paul stops the guard from killing himself because he's so ashamed that all this happened, all this catastrophe, I'm going to lose my job, I might as well not live. Paul stops him from ending his life. Why does he do it? Watch. See, this is the care of the soul. Verse 29, then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Something changed in his heart that says, I need to be saved. Who is that? Who's doing that? That's the Lord. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. That's just one verse. Those are what we're reading in John 4, what I just read in Acts chapter 16. That's God's writing this book. You know what I'm saying? That's God writing this book. He puts everything perfectly in every little spot. So when you need some nuggets of information, when you need some encouragement, he puts it in there and he just convicts you. And this book is alive. We say that verse all the time. The word of God is quick and powerful, but it really does change lives, because the word of the Lord changes lives. It's him. This, again, the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. So this is the second miracle. So I want to recap something, and we got 5 minutes to do it. I'm going to list some things that are interesting between John chapter 2, John chapter 4, and I like to do this, and I'm going to print out a sheet next time just to see the different things, because I like to do application and a little bit of study, because I think they're both appropriate in one message. 1 Corinthians 1:22, the Jews require a sign, right? Seeking Christ, this idea that the Jews require a sign, well, and all that, just mark that down as a cross reference, because it's good to see how the nobleman, he didn't need to see the healing, he just believed in Jesus Christ. And that's an interesting thing, because what was the problem is the people that required the sign, the Jews, when they looked and he did miracles, look at what happened in Gadara. They still rejected him, right? So see, the idea here is God's using these miracles through Jesus Christ. The miracles are there to show what? And that's what I'm going to end with. They're there to show something beyond that. The Jews require a sign to show that he's the Son of God. It wasn't there to save their soul. Those miracles will not save their soul. Many times when you see these miracles, they live again, right? Lazarus, he's resurrected, but he eventually dies again. So what's the difference? It's the saving of your soul. You still need, you could be raised up thousands of times, but Hebrews 9:27 says we're all going to come to judgment and die. We need to be saved. We need to be saved. We need our soul saved. In verse 50, the man believed the word Jesus had spoken, putting faith in what the Lord said, and it came to pass. it's noted that the heart of the nobleman is that he was a man who traveled a long way to see Jesus. The second miracle Jesus did, he came out of Judea into Galilee. So he's in Galilee, Cana of Galilee, right? So he's staying around this spot, and he's already performed his second public ministry miracle. The miracle of chapter 2 compared to chapter 4 is interesting because they both happened on the third day. And both who came to the Lord were rebuked by him, and that's found in John 2, 4. John 4, 48. And like I said, I'll print this out for both who witnessed the miracles believed. So that's in John 2, 11 and John 4, 53. They witnessed the miracles, then they believed. Because the whole point of the miracles was, guys, I am the Son of God. I'm here because I can heal you physically, but I can heal your heart. I can heal your sin. That's the most important thing. That's why when we pray for people's healing physically, it's good. We don't want people to suffer, but ultimately, if they're not saved, Jesus shows us right here the most important thing is their soul. Even in 1 Thessalonians, the way the Lord lists those in order, spirit, soul, and body, the body's last on the list. That's the last thing to get taken care of. We have more Christians wanting to stay alive, trying to cling to this earth, than wanting to be with the Lord. Not to say you should be careless with your life either. You want to be here for your loved ones. I get that. But so fearful of leaving this earth and everything that they're not looking forward to the blessed hope. There's a problem there, right? Because we should be looking towards the blessed hope. In the same time, in the same avenue, in the same vein, be preaching the gospel, being telling people, being witnesses, testimonies to them. So finally, in the beginning, when we started John, we talked about the miracles showing why they're recorded. There's seven miracles in the book of John. And the first one was in John chapter 2. We talked about that. Jesus turning the water into the wine. The first three miracles Jesus does. The Bible lists the miracles as this was the first miracle Jesus did. This was the second miracle. Why is that? Jesus turning the water into wine, it shows that salvation comes by the word of God. These first three miracles that we're going to see one in John chapter 5. We're going to see how salvation comes. How it comes, how salvation comes, how it is received. God's using these miracles to show salvation. In John chapter 2, when we read the wedding, this shows that salvation comes by the word of God. And that illustration, here's the illustration. When man's provision fails, when man cannot provide, remember they couldn't provide the water or the wine, right? When man's provision fails, Jesus can and will provide that which is far better. And he always does. He's always exceedingly and abundantly better in everything he does. The second miracle we just read, the healing of the nobleman's son. This is an easy one if you really think about it. Ready? How does salvation come? The man is physically not by his son. He comes to the Lord, not seeing his son. He's far removed from his son and asks the Lord to heal his son. And he listens to the word of the Lord and he says, your son's healed. And he believes him. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Salvation is by faith. And the one when we get next time, the healing of the paralytic man, the man that was paralyzed, we're going to find out that salvation is by grace. The Bible is full of interesting things. I mean, I don't know how else to say that this is not the word of God. Because when we say the word of God, there's so much stuff. If you really go and search through it, God is good and he's wonderful. And he's always showing these things to us because the word itself, no matter what people tell you, that's why somebody can tell me, some scientist can come my way and try to convince me out of my faith and I will never be convinced out of it. See, the Lord has proved himself over and over so much that, and we can all attest to this, that there are things in your life that you cannot explain unless it was the Lord. Amen. And that alone is enough to believe in that light, because the darkness will never understand that until they stop trying to understand and start believing and receiving. Amen. Let's close.